Welcome to today's Main Ingredient, a program designed to help you bring local farm fresh food to your table. I'm your host, Mickey Useups, and my guests today are farmers Greg Swartz and Tanis Kowalczyk of Willow Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus. Tanis, also a celebrity chef in the area, will be sharing some recipes. Today's main ingredient is lettuce and salad greens. I decided that lettuce is like the guy you see at every party that you ever go to. And then one night you finally get a chance to talk to him and he's the most interesting person at the party. That's how I felt about lettuce. And I felt like I actually had a little bit of savvy about lettuce. And this is going to be really fun diving into exactly what we mean when we say lettuce and salad greens. So we're going to start with lettuce. And Greg, we're going to talk to you as our farmer, although I know both of you are involved in the farm. Talk about what kind of conditions are good for lettuce and what's bad for lettuce.
Lettuce really is a cool weather crop. So it prefers cool nights and days that are not too hot, plenty of sunshine, and like everything, the exact right amount of water, not too much, not too little, and very importantly, good airflows to prevent disease issues. So what that means is that there are seasons that are better for growing lettuce in our area.
What are some of the main reasons why people don't have good experiences growing lettuce?
Let's see, there's a couple things. One, you know, so we talked about the ideal temperatures. That relates to the growing of the lettuce, but also very importantly to the germination of the lettuce seed, right? There's several stages of growth for any plant. The first one being germination. It's when the seed is waking up. It has all the right conditions of humidity, temperature, and light to actually kick the biological process into gear to go from a dormant seed into an actively growing plant. And lettuce has one very important quality, which is called thermal dormancy. What that means is that when lettuce is above 78 degrees Fahrenheit, it will not germinate. Other problems would be to think about succession planting. So a lot of times people will plant a whole bunch of lettuce at once and then don't replant it. What that means is that when you do that singular planting, you're going to end up with a whole bunch of lettuce at once, and then it's going to be over and then you won't have any more. So on our farm, we plant lettuce once every 2 weeks from April through September, and that ensures that we have a steady supply.
Now, one thing that I do want to talk about is Will-O-Wisp is an organic farm, and you were talking about the lettuce's flavor profile. On an organic farm, one of the things I know that you do is you deal with diseases and pests and insects and things differently than you would on a more traditional farm. But also, there's the importance of that flavor profile. So first, let's talk a little bit about how an organic farm or how you deal with things like plants, plant diseases, and insects.
Sure. Well, I can actually answer both questions at the same time.
I kind of thought you could. I've been on your farm.
So organic farming is all about managing the soil. A healthy crop is the byproduct of healthy soil. So we spend a lot of time thinking about the soil ecosystem, right? Soil is alive. It's not just a physical rock thing. Yes, there are physical components to it, right? Sand, silt, clay, et cetera. But more importantly, it is a very diverse living ecosystem. On average, in a handful of healthy soil, there's more than 1 billion living organisms. And that is everything from bacteria to fungi to nematodes to arthropods. And when all of those living organisms are thriving, there is a cycle of life there where one organism eats the other and they circulate the energy through that whole system. When that cycle is happening, there's actually a release of nutrients that then become available to the plant. And when nutrients are released in that way, it actually makes for an extremely healthy plant. And the healthier a plant is, the more able it is to fend off disease and, interestingly, to fend off insects. There's a very funny thing that a healthy plant is less attractive to insects. Now, on the flavor side, nutrient density and flavor are closely related. The higher the nutrient density of a plant, the more flavorful it is. When you have really healthy soil, you're going to have healthier plants that the end product tastes better too.
They have different flavor profiles. Some are bitter. That's a lot of times, I think, what people might think of other lettuces. But there are a lot of other sweet
Oh yeah, like Boston lettuce. We grow a green Boston and a red Boston. Absolutely amazing. We grow a very old variety of a red oak leaf that's called Bronze Arrowhead, which is like, it has a crunchy midrib and a tender leaf and this beautiful coloring and flavor that's out of this world. We grow a Batavian crisp head that's as crunchy as a romaine, but has way more flavor.
But now we're going to turn to salad greens. So these are, I guess, some lettuce, not lettuce, young lettuce. How exactly does that work?
Well, I mean, you know, I guess when I hear the word salad greens, it means anything that can be eaten in a salad. So we just talked about one of the most common, which is lettuce. But then there are scores of other ones that are really excellent in a salad. So that would be things like arugula or escarole or frise, mustard spinach, some of the chicories, which are a whole family of more bitter greens. Radicchio, which is in that chicory family. Radicchio is amazing in salads. I mean, you can even add herbs into salads. There's so many possibilities.
So now we're talking so much about flavors, Tanis Kowalczyk is going to chime in. She is our celebrity chef. Tanis, I don't think I could do justice to some of the things that you are involved in. So I'm going to ask you to do your own little introduction.
Sure. Thanks for having me here. Well, one of the things I do a lot is cook the farm lunches on the farm. And when I'm not farming or cooking on the farm, I'm also making theater. And we have a greenhouse on the farm that we make theater in. And we have a company called Farm Arts Collective and do all kinds of fun things. And we actually had a salad dressing workshop last year with Farm Arts Collective. And so I got some really nice ideas from one of the teachers who was part of it. And so that's what I want to share today. I'm going to talk about really basics, because ultimately I think it's the basics that actually taste the best. Generally speaking, I tend to make all my dressings homemade. And it's so easy to do that. Really, all you need is an oil, a citrus or a vinegar, and salt. And that's your kind of basics. So I use white vinegar a lot, just your big jug of white vinegar that you can also clean up with afterwards. I also have some white wine vinegar and some red wine vinegar and some apple cider vinegar for variation. So let's just talk about the most basic of recipes for any green salad. I do 2 parts oil. Olive oil generally is what I'll use, like a nice virgin olive oil, and 1 part vinegar. Sometimes I'll taste it and I'll go, oh, I need a little bit more oil or I need a little bit more vinegar. It's easy. You just like mix it up fast, like you emulsify it and you can like kind of taste that blend. I add salt, a decent amount of salt, because that just like picks up the whole flavor of that salad. So, and you can just make that as your salad dressing. I keep a little mason jar and I just mix my ingredients every time I do a salad. I will often just make enough for that salad. And you are going to save so much money if you're making your own salad dressing.
By nature, oil and water don't want to mix. So you really have to vigorously, your fork or a whisk, or like I said, shake.
I shake it. I just shake, and it does the job.
Absolutely.
So that's your most basic of salad dressing. The oil, the vinegar, the salt. Or you can use lime or lemon. If you want to add a little bit of spice and Frenchness to it, take a half a teaspoon of Dijon mustard and put it into your salad dressing of oil and vinegar. And oh my goodness, it just like makes it even a little bit creamier and gives it a little bit of zip. And then add a little bit of dried chives to it, or add a little bit of fresh herbs if you have them growing in your garden, and it'll like add a little boost to it. If you're doing some of the more bitter or like tougher greens, like a kale salad or the escarole, the radicchio, I always like to add a little bit of garlic to it. I have my garlic press, or I'll just like chop it up really fine. And I'll throw some garlic in, and you don't need a lot. But boy, it sure adds a little bit more, and it really tones down the bitter. And it just is a totally different experience eating that salad when you have that little bit of garlic in it. There's also yogurt that people can use. So that will be a great base for adding a little bit of oil to the yogurt to just like thin it out a little bit. And again, mixing in some salt, some garlic, and even a little bit of dill. If you happen to have dill, it makes such a nice dressing for on top of like the crispier salad greens, like the crisp head that we grow, or romaine that you can buy at the grocery store, or these little gems that we grow, like the crisp ones can really take that yogurt, heavier, creamier dressing. And it's, again, so tasty. And it's a nice variety to go back and forth, you know, between a pure vinaigrette, a creamier dressing. It's great on cucumbers as well. Once we start getting cucumbers, delicious. You know, if you happen to have some mayonnaise, you can use that with some,
you never
some
think oil of that.
Vinegar. Yeah, to make it a little bit thicker.
I do want to talk a little bit about preparing the lettuce or the greens for salad.
Okay, so let's just imagine we have a head of romaine, which is I chop off the bottom. And so it kind of opens up a little bit. And then what I tend to do all times is either fill up my sink or fill up a big bowl with cold water. And I make sure all the lettuce leaves are separated. And I just rinse them and wash them in this big bowl of water or in a sink of cold water. Then I have a salad spinner and I use it religiously.
What about storing? So do you store it before you wash it? Like just wash it before you're going to eat it, bring it home, wash it and store it. What would you recommend?
Sure. If I bought a head of Greg's lettuce at the farmer's market, or if I bought some lettuce at the grocery store to store it, I would do what my mom does, which is really great. She has this long flat Tupperware and she puts a paper towel on the bottom and she puts her lettuce leaves down on it and it stores beautifully. She'll keep it for like a good week. You know what? There's also one other important thing. Do not dress your salad until you're ready to eat it, or else it gets soggy.
We will obviously have some recipes for everybody online. You can go to seedsgroup.net. You can also learn more about the Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm by going to willowwisporganic.com. For my guests, Greg Swartz, Tanis Kowalczyk, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about lettuce and salad greens. It's been fascinating. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here.
Nice talking to you, Mickey. Nice
All talking. Right, thank you. Now joining us to talk about the important nutrients found in lettuce and salad greens is Carol Knier, Community Health Manager at Way Memorial Hospital and Health System. Welcome, Carol. It's always nice to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Mickey. I love being on this show.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. As a registered dietitian, can you talk to us about the value of lettuce and salad in a healthy diet? When you go on a diet, the first thing you think, you eat salad all the time. Why is that? How does that relate to the valuable nutrients we find in these?
The point that you said that, you know, when many people go on a diet that they choose lettuce because they think it's the healthiest. Well, it is. But some people also get a negative feeling when they hear salads, because sometimes people only think of like one, like iceberg, which is great to eat, but there are so many varieties that you heard about today on the show. And so when you look at the lettuce and the salad greens, there is such a wide variety. And the one thing nice about that, they all provide excellent nutrition for us. The most important thing is when you talk about the lettuce and the salad greens is when you eat them kind of by themselves, they can get a little boring. What you want to do is really liven them up. You want to add stuff to them. You want to make them complete, because as a food item, the lettuce and the salad greens are what we call nutrient dense. They pack a lot of nutrition in low calorie food items. You know, foods that contain vitamins, minerals, complex carbs, foods that also have lean protein and healthy fats are foods that are considered nutrient dense. So when we look at our lettuce and salad greens, they are extremely low in calories, but they provide such a high value of vitamins and minerals. So for example, they have magnesium, they have calcium in it, they have phosphorus in it. A lot of those minerals that we may not get, or we do not get in a lot of processed foods out there. When you want to kind of make that salad complete, pick different kinds we heard about today. Usually the darker that leaf, the better it is, the more nutrition it contains. But again, all of them have great values in them. Make your salad complete by adding lean protein. You know, if you're a vegetarian, that's fine. You can add black beans, you can add kidney beans, you can add any variety of beans that will give you some protein. If you like some actual meat protein, you can add lean chicken, you can either grill shrimp, you can also add grains when you look at it, barley, quinoa. These are all great food items that we consider nutrient dense foods that give you a lot of nutrition for the value.
This program is brought to you by Seeds of Northeastern Pennsylvania. to promote sustainable agriculture, sustainable energy, and sustainable living in today's world, and by Fertile Valley Farms and Wolfspring Farms, two local farms working together. Call 410-961-0413. And you can find this and other episodes in our series at seedsofnepa.org. The main ingredient is made possible by a grant from the Greater Pike Community Foundation and the Wayne Pike Farm Bureau.